This is the Dosacero Podcast, a weekly show devoted to football in Mexico, the U.S., and beyond. If you are a Pocho, Puma, Regio, Chiva, Cholo, Fresa, Tigre, Tapatio, Chilango, or even a Methodist, pull up a chair, crack open a cold one, and enjoy the next 90 minutes of heated football debate. Thus begins the Dosacero Podcast. Hello, good evening, and welcome, to the Dosacero Podcast. My name is John Jagu. Thank you guys very much for joining us. Really appreciate y'all taking the time to listen to our show live every Wednesday night around 9 p.m.-ish Central on YouTube. And of course, you can catch this and other recorded versions of our show on iTunes. And I believe that we decided that last week's show was the best show we ever did. So if y'all want to find out why it was so good, I invite y'all to download that podcast from last week on iTunes. My name is John Jagu. Thank you for joining us tonight. As always, we have a very full plate to discuss. We'll jump into Liga MX and their second week of what should be preseason, but it's the actual season. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Tri Olimpico tonight. They are getting ready to fly down to Brazil. They have one last warm-up against Argentina, which they will play tomorrow at the Cuauhtémoc, or as they call it in Puebla, El Escusado. And we'll delve into other topics, but those will be the topics we have for y'all tonight. We might debut a new segment that we're very excited about. I thought we were going to, but it looks like we lost one of our possible participants. Maybe he will join us here in a minute. But this is a Dosacero Podcast, so let's jump right into it. Would like to thank Juan Uribe for joining us after about 2-3 week absence. Juan, are you back in the USA?
Hey, John, definitely, man. You know, it was a struggle to get back in, but, you know, luckily Trump hasn't put up that wall yet, so.
Yeah,
I'm here in LA. I've been back, I think, a couple weeks, and thank you guys for having me. I apologize, you know, sometimes the coaching business, it gets busy, you know?
Well, we understand. I mean, you know, did the customs agent have some extra questions for you when you were trying to re-enter the country?
Yeah, is it customary for them to like have you take off your shoes and take your the thumbprints of your feet?
That is a new one.
No.
Was there a glove involved in any of the inspections?
No. I don't know. It was a lady with a whip. That's what I found so odd. And then
she had a whip. Did she whip your feet? Was it like Midnight Express?
Dude, she had like this mechanism. She had you like put up your arms and you had to get tied up and stuff. It was absolutely the weirdest experience ever going through customs.
That is, and that was on this side. That wasn't in Mexico. That was in the U.S.
That was in the U.S, man. That's on.
Tied up and whipped on your feet. Is that what I'm led to understand?
Yes.
They whipped your feet.
Yeah.
Did they give you a reason?
No, man. I don't get it. I just.
My next question.
She was in all leather and, you know, bizarre. Yeah.
Did you have a safe word?
I wasn't offered one. That was a problem.
Not offered a safe word. Oh, I see. Well, maybe we'll touch into that in more detail a little bit later. Also out in California, actually, it looks like it's going to be a third coast versus west coast show tonight, is what it looks like. We also have with us joining us from Escondido, a newly christened father for the second time, Daniel Preciado. How are you, Daniel?
Hi, John. I'm doing well. Man. Evening, gentlemen. Happy to be here.
How are the kiddos?
They're good. They're good. My son's slowly getting potty trained, so I'm looking forward to one less butt to wipe. So fingers crossed for that. He's going to be starting preschool soon, so we're excited.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And
does he speak
both English and Spanish, or just English, Spanish, and Japanese?
It's funny. This conversation came up in big soccer, and in shame, I didn't post because he is not learning Spanish. And I thought about it long and hard today and thought about, you know, I'm just going to have to just start talking to him in Spanish nonstop. And just, he's going to have to figure it out.
What would really help, if you have a DVR, is Plaza Sésamo still on?
Well, he gets his fill of, like, Línea de Cuatro and Fútbol Picante, but not sure if that helps.
You know what it's going to happen? He's going to start talking like, como José Ramón.
That's only going to open doors for him if he could pull off the white Mexican. And he is white, actually, so he does have that covered.
He needs cartoons in Spanish. He's not listening to El Picante.
From Chavo del Ocho, man.
Piping in from Kyle, Texas, in southern Travis County, we have Albert El Chiquiscampa. How's it going, Chiqui Monkey?
Hey, ¿qué onda? What's going on?
How was your time off? Did you have a nice vacation? Looks like you went all over the country.
Yeah, it was fun. A lot of driving, but it was okay.
Yeah, so you drove up and down the East Coast, West Coast?
Yeah. Yeah, I went over drove diagonally, I guess, up to Dallas and then up to Toronto and then came down the East Coast to Florida. Dropped by Ronnie's place, and he was hiding somewhere. Couldn't find him. He was hiding. I was searching all over.
That's saying something, too. When you're his favorite, and he ducked you.
Well, we only have one thing to say for Ronnie about that.
I went and vandalized his food truck, though.
Good for you.
Did you get free guacamole or did you get
I know, that's what I was going to say. Did you spray paint free the wok?
Yeah, because you offered me a free meal and said, hey, I'm not going to be around, but you could have a free meal. And I was like, why would I go to Philadelphia and eat Mexican food, honestly? it's like, why would, like, would you come to Texas to have a cheesesteak? No.
Yeah, it was close, so I didn't get it.
I spent my time eating. I had to go to Philadelphia twice, and I think I went to 6 different cheesesteak places. I just wanted to see what they had. And I'll be honest, my favorite one was actually not in Philadelphia, but across the river in New Jersey. It's called Gitano's. It's delicious. I enjoyed it very much. Also with us tonight, last but not least, gentleman in South Central, where he has been enjoying the gentrification of a neighborhood where we're hoping that you have less drive-bys. Did a Starbucks open this week in South Central? Go ahead.
I'm not sure, John, but I think we have our fill of them already.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you could join us, Joel. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And we will jump right into our first topic. Obviously, for some strange reason, Liga MX started rather early in mid-July. We are 2 weeks into the season, and I think that the best thing that you can say for the season is that it's just not been up to par, at least the standards that we come to expect when we watch a league of this caliber. I think the games have been very mediocre to bad. There really haven't been any players or teams that have done really all that much. Nothing really to write home about. These teams are plainly in still preseason mode, and it's unfortunate because you know, you'd expect a little more, and it's not just reflected on the field, but it's reflected in the stands. I've seen the smallest crowds I've seen in a long time in the stands of some stadiums. There was one game, it looked like there was like 4 people there, and they were just moving around. It was not good. But having said that, it looks like the champion last year is kind of picking up where they left off. Maybe someone who has been spending some time down in Pachuca can fill us in on what's going on down there. What is their secret to success? What did you notice as far as like culture and philosophy down in Pachuca, Juan, that you think kind of sets it apart from the other guys?
You know, the first team wasn't there when I visited, but I mean, it's just their facilities, man. The way they're taking care of their first team players. You know, their even their training program, like you know, they got a setup where each player has their card for the training they're gonna do, as far as gym time, and then so their workout is preset. the workout is preset by the physical trainer. So I think it's just that, and the city, you know, Pachuca is a city. It doesn't have a lot of distractions. So probably most of the time the players are, you know, are focused on the task, and then, you know, if they want to party, then they go to DF, you know, to your neighborhood. What's it called? The Polanco, did you say?
Polanco, yeah, Polanco. Or
is
nice.
It, was it Tepito?
Condesa, no, Tepito, that's where.
That's where Ronnie is
from. No, the Fresas hang out in Polanco, they hang out in Condesa, they hang out in Las Lomas, they hang out in Santa Fe, tio, and,
So, you know, I think, Roma. Yeah, I think the city itself is, it has like a small town feel to it, and then they got, they can do elevation training. Obviously, they're, you know, Pachuca's in the, you know, it's high in the, as far as elevation, and then there's still areas where they can go train even higher or, you know, elevation training. So I think it's just a mixture, and I think more than anything really is good management. You know, they're organized at the top. They're not they're not coming up with these schemes every other season.
Do they have a nutritionist for the player? I mean, are the players, do they have a set menu that they eat as well in addition to a set exercise program?
You know, I know the youth players do, because they have an eating area, and I think probably the senior players do. But you know, once they leave the campus, then they're on their own. But yeah, they got a setup. So it's like a cafeteria, like a big cafeteria. I guess you could say a cafeteria, but I mean it's really nice, and so everything's programmed for them. Dude,
did you
facilities
get to eat meals there yourself?
No, I didn't eat meals there myself. Their facilities are just phenomenal.
Did you stay at a hotel?
I didn't stay at their hotel. I stayed at another hotel, which, from what I understood, it's the hotel the visiting players stay at.
Can I ask a very important question?
Huh? Say that again, I'm sorry?
A very important question. How many times did you have chilaquiles for breakfast? You can be honest.
They were serving chilaquiles every day, man.
Yeah, and then
but I had them. I was there 2 weeks, so I had them probably like the first 7 days, and then I kind of like, all right, yeah. I think that's
last
enough.
Last time I was in Mexico City, I was so lazy. I had them bring me chilaquiles to my room. I ordered breakfast room service. I think I've done that once in 10 years. But, yeah, it was pretty funny. So you came away impressed. You think that Pachuca, you know, is, and obviously, do you have a basis of comparison from other clubs, or do you think Pachuca is the only facility you visited in your time as being a coach?
I visited like Cholos, you know, Cholos facility, and you know, I've seen what Chivas has, and so, I mean, from those three, they're the best, and you know, too. John, I think very importantly, they have like the best hospital as far as the, you know, the for sports, like in all the profe told me was he's one of the visores for the players coming in, but he said it was the best hospital in Latin America, and I think even the US as far as, you know, just having the equipment that's needed. So I think that's another thing that they, it's like they're taking a like holistic approach to the sport. They're bringing in the, like, you know, in years past they brought in coaches that that they had a strong youth development background, like Efraín Flores, you know, Hans Westerhoff. They, unfortunately, they never worked with José Luis Real, and I'm sure they would have been, you know, he probably would have, you know, doubled the number of Chucky Lozanos in there.
So is Westerhoff, is he the brains behind the whole thing right now at Pachuca?
No, he's not there. I think he spent some time there. I think one of his sons is there. I did not see him there when I was there, but you know, they got like Jaime Correa.
But Westerhoff is your guy, right? I mean, that's the guy that you really like and admire.
Yeah. Man. To me, the Dutch approach, you know, I think it can work in Mexico, and I think, you know, I mean, Westerhoff's a guy you would bring in to, you know, to get those type of players coming through, developing them. You know, for me,
he's... Yeah, it's very interesting you say that. It seems to me, and maybe y'all can agree or disagree, but, you know, but it seems like a player that plays in Mexico, the ones that have gone to the Holland seem to have found more consistency. And, you know, I'd say that they had a, you know, modestly or some more have had very solid, decent careers in Europe than those that, you know, maybe jumped into Spain or, you know, obviously Chicharito is the exception as well. Like, we don't have Fernando Sanchez, but, you know, for the, I don't want to call them marginal, but for your, like, the, you know, the other guys, it seems like the Dutch guys have been the ones that have had. You
call them what they are, John. The petardos in Europa. The Mexican petardos for Europe.
You know, I don't know if I would use such strong language. I would say, you know, I would just say like the
Giovanni.
Except, you know, like Giovanni is a perfect example. I mean, imagine if he would have, you know, gone on loan to Holland for a few years or whatever the case would be. I think it would have been really good for his career. Just a thought. Anybody else have any thoughts on that, Dan? Do you feel the same way I do, or do you think that I'm just pulling gnats out of the air?
Maybe. I'm sorry. What was the question?
very, very thoughtful and incisive. No, I was asking as far as the recently the Mexican the expats in Europe. It seems like the ones that played in Holland seem to have had a man, I guess an acceptable career than those that maybe did, except for, like, obviously the superstars.
I'd say since the level is probably a good step lower than some of the other leagues, probably, I think it helps them have, I think it's more conducive to success, which also helps their confidence. So I think
I like the idea of having the players go there first.
Well, but I think it's also the style of play. I think that also fits the, you know, it's a little faster. It's not as physical as some of the other leagues. I think that it fits the physiognomy of a Mexican soccer, you know, typical Mexican soccer player better than other leagues. I mean, like a guy like Hector Moreno, who I thought was, you know, really good at ACMAR, you know, if he doesn't break his leg, he's going to a very, very, because he was having a terrific World Cup up until that point. I mean, it wouldn't have surprised me at all if he ended up on one of the, you know, a Champions League perennial. And unfortunately for him, that happened. But, you know, so it seems like if there's some way that if Mexican players are going to go to Europe and if they're going to go young, that maybe Holland would be a good place to see what they can do, kind of like what Tecatito did. And then, you know, if they're going to be good enough, they're going to get noticed, and they're going to get noticed a lot easier in Holland than, say, at Necaxa. If that's the way they want to go.
Hey, and El Fenomeno and Luis Suarez, they both spent time in Netherlands.
Ronaldo played at PSV before he ever went to Inter. I mean, he had and so did Romario. I mean, it's a good spot to see if they really do have the potential that people think they do. So, I think it's definitely a league that can help, especially the younger players. You know, that's why, I mean, if a team like Feyenoord or even Ajax, if they made an offer for Lozano, I would be very, very happy for him. I think that'd be a great spot for him. So
I doubt he's going to go to a team like that sort just because of the price tag that they're probably wanting for him.
Well, that's exactly right. I think that Joel and I are in the middle of discussing this, that we'll post a little bit later. But I personally believe that if a player like Lozano, if anybody should make a big deal for him, I think it should be another Mexican, because he honestly is right now he is the future Mexican player, and I think that if he can somehow manage to stay in the league, I think that the league would benefit greatly from it. So, the big money teams like Tigres and Monterrey and Club America, if somebody makes a huge offer, I just don't see why they wouldn't accept. But that's just my personal opinion. But, well, we really appreciate your insight, Juan. You can tell us a little bit more about Pachuca a little bit later. So we've had 2 weeks of Liga MX. No one has looked good. However, Chivas did beat Monterrey again, 1-0. It was the debut of Chivas TV, and it seemed to have done very well. I know when you log into Chivas TV, it takes a while, but it does work. And from what I read, apparently the announcers were very entertaining, and said that was one of its saving graces, outside from the fact that it has technical issues. So,
hey John, Gallito Vasquez didn't he also get his debut in that game?
He did, I believe. Yeah, he didn't play in week one, but he did play. Chivas. And we always seem to focus on them a little bit, but Chivas is they've got themselves quite a little team if they can manage to manage the expectations and the distractions. I think this could be it for Chivas this year. I think that they have that kind of talent, and they need the sun to shine on their butt this year. It needs to. They haven't had good luck, and I think Chivas needs to have the breaks go their way. If the breaks started going their way, would you finally start watching Chivas again? Would you DVR them? Would you make them want to catch a Chivas game?
No, I've never really stopped watching, John. It's just been my work schedule. It's been against me. But I still watch even when they were at their lowest.
How low? So what is their lowest, like fighting in week 13 for a descenso low? Is that the lowest you've ever seen?
Yes, the relegation, which was to me probably the most exciting Chivas games I've seen in a long time. The games were more meaningful, Each match had that much more intense.
And maybe this is something we can talk about a little bit later, but I've been, I always follow the promotion relegation argument here in the U.S., and it's something that I don't think is ever going to happen because the American leagues, not just soccer, but the other sports are just, the owners are going to go, what do you mean I'm going to the minor leagues? I didn't pay money to go to the minor leagues. I just don't think it would happen. And it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, that Atlético Nacional has just won the Copa Libertadores. They beat the team, Independiente del Valle, a recently promoted team in the Ecuadorian league. They made it all the way to the final by beating not only River Plate, they also beat Boca Juniors, and most importantly, they defeated Pumas in the quarterfinal.
John, I believe Independiente del Valle's the total cost of their squad is $20 million, two less than Raul Jimenez.
Another topic we will talk about. But as far as promotion relegation, so those are the most exciting. Those had to have been, for both of y'all, just unbelievably nervous to have to. I had to deal with it like 10 years ago with Pumas, like in 07, 08. And you guys are, it is tough because. You have to get through it, especially at home. If you don't win at home, you're just like pulling your hair out. You're like, oh my God, you have to get 3 points at home. And therefore, Chivas didn't win at home for us. It's a long time. Or was it 7 years?
It's pretty much the day that the Chepo left, that's when the downward spiral started.
Now, when Chepo left, was he fired? Was it a worthy sacking, or was it just because they were in a slump?
You know what it was? It was they were making the semifinals, and for Vergara that wasn't enough, you know. So I think it's just unrealistic expectations.
But Juan, there was some disagreement because he wasn't getting along with Bofo, and at the time,
remember, they sold Bofo.
Yeah, they did. That's what kind of started it, where it's like he requested Chepo requested Bofo leave.
What was that? Use your safe word, man.
Hold on. Oh, it's the punch.
Oh, well,
I want to hear it.
Yeah, that was part of it. Getting rid of Bofo, so like the main star, him? and then not being able to capitalize. So you know, I think that started some of the problems.
But he was bunking. Like, remember that game against America where they were saying that if he lost, he was going to get fired. And then he played. He took an extremely defensive approach. He won the game, you know. But I think that's not really the way Chivas should be playing.
So winning the game defensively was the straw that broke Vergara's back when it came to Chep.
Nah, it was like that. He didn't. He sold Bofo, and then where he? How far did he get? Semifinales, Jolie?
Man, we're talking about 10 years ago, man.
that was many, many bombs ago.
You know, but I don't think it's when Chepo first left. I think it was once De La Torre left. I mean, his older brother Nestor.
Well, he didn't he leave before?
No, he left.
He left in 07 to start the
yeah, they left about the same time.
Yeah.
But I would say Nestor was up.
They brought in but yeah, after De La Torre's left, actually, you know, it's after Hans Westerhoff left, where he was done with the organization, that it became a mess. He had a different directores deportivos and presidentes coming in and out.
The Westerhoff. See, that's the thing I don't understand about y'all is that, well, not you two particularly, but Chivas fans, I mean, they act like it's like their birthright that they're supposed to win, but unless you're like in your 70s, you've never seen Chivas win more than like two tournaments in your lifetime.
That is true. That is true.
El Chol, dude, he was, you know, he was like in his teens when the Campeonismo was winning everything.
Let me put it to you this way. Santos, a team that came into the league, was it in 1992, Dan? I mean, it was in the early 90s. Has won, what, five or six titles?
They bought Tamaulipas?
Well, whoever it was. But I'm saying, like, since they've been in Torreón, they've won five or six titles. And Chivas, since the Liguilla era started in 1970, have won the league three times.
Now, which director was it that sold all those players to Santos to help them win that title and not go to Segunda? Was that De La Torre or was that Frangier? They sold...
you're talking in 2007 or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
It was Pumas, Santos, I remember that. Because Pumas was, they were in... And then it ended up being like Veracruz or somebody that finally just collapsed, thank God. And they ended up being relegated. So,
yeah.
Well, maybe, like I said, I really do think that this could be the year for at least the season for Chivas, which is very unfortunate because of Chivas TV, their fans aren't going to get to see it because like only 5% of the fans are going to actually tune in and pay attention.
It's a smart bet though, John, because look, this guy Higuera, like he came in. And right away they started filling filling the seats in the stadium, you know.
Well, you know what? I've heard that they've been giving away tickets.
Well, you know what? A lot of teams do that, man. Look at the
yeah, but if you keep on, unless you're giving them away to like a charity, I don't see why Chivas should have to give away.
Fans a charity case. What?
Chivas is a charity case.
Joel, you feel differently about Higuera and the way that he's managed the team.
Yes, very negative.
I was going to say that seems hypocritical of Higuera too, considering his recent comments about knowing business that he'd just give away tickets like that.
Now Joel is contradicting himself because he's saying with having Chivas TV, they're being elitist. But to the local community, they're giving them away tickets, according to Jolie. Now, I have not verified this, but if this is true, then they're not really being elitist if people are able to get free tickets.
Yeah, but see, that's because you have to have you need to create that illusion that the stadium is full. That you know what I mean? It's all about, you know, it's like marketing and product placement.
That's
what you're saying.
The atmosphere right now, the atmosphere in Medellin is unbelievable. In the stadium with Platinan, it looks fantastic. I wish that you know, just and just not just Mexico, but in all over the world would have.
John, I think it's a sad day for Mexico fans when you know, teams not from the Big Two in Sudamerica can lift the Libertadores, you know, with all due respect for them. But since Mexico teams have been participating in the tournament going back to like 97, we've seen teams from Paraguay, Peru, you know, Colombia win the cup, and we can't even, we rarely get close.
But
that's because we got to the CCL, man. We got the CONCACAF champions.
I know, but I mean, it also comes down to the fans. Fans exactly. Need to like demand that, and you know, demand it of their clubs so that clubs could actually, you know, make it a goal to win that tournament.
I'm not gonna lie. I was very relieved when Pumas didn't make the postseason last spring, because then I knew that they could concentrate on the Libertadores. So I don't want to have a stupid situation where they have a Liguilla game and a Libertadores game in the same week, and then do what America does by sending, you know, the reserves to Brazil to play a quarterfinal or semifinal.
And John, good thing you mentioned that, because then we could see more of the fallas from the league. Because I remember that Tigres wanted to postpone a match, a league match, so that they could play Libertadores, and the league refused it. And that same week, the league postponed a game for Monterrey, who were playing a friendly game, I believe, against Benfica, because they were debuting their stadium.
That is very, very unfortunate. And you know, it's...
Ronnie crawled out of his hiding space finally. I guess now that Beto's back in Texas.
No, I'm just leaving the studio right now.
Oh, Ronnie. Ronnie's here.
Yep.
All the way from Philadelphia.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's unfortunately right now I'm in Philly.
I should have played that before I introduced you. See, I got to get this timing stuff down.
It hurts to hear that, Jon. I actually grew up with Parchís.
So is that Menudo?
It's Parchís. It's not Timbiriche. See, Timbiriche probably sang the Chivas songs.
John actually ruined Parchís for me. I used to think Parchís were Mexican. I did not know that they were America sympathizers either.
And from Spain. So like Jose Ramon's worst nightmare. Spaniard Americanistas.
Oh, man. You know,
he has to like him, but then they do that to him. I mean, that, you know, that's just terribly rough. You know, it's funny that you came on, Ronnie, because I know that you forgot that the league had started, because like the rest of us, you normally expect it to start like last week of July or first week of August. But your boy Uribe, got ready for Olympic training the absolute best way he could.
Yeah, he scored, what was it, the 3 goals?
Yeah, they call that a hat trick.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking
about. Well, 2 of them were sort of weak sauce. One of them was a penalty, and the other one was like a tap-in or something. A goal.
Stop hating, Cheeky. Stop hating.
A goal is a goal. How do y'all feel about Uribe playing in the Olympics? Is it good? I mean, obviously, you know, good for him. I think it's a terrible indictment on the state of the league and of the players personally.
Yeah, I think it's good for the team, but like you said, an indictment on the league and the current state of lack of strikers.
Does anybody know when Uribe's contract is up?
I think that when you sign with America, it's like signing with the devil and like the it just.
He's gonna get a novella.
It
think,
never expires.
Once his contract is up, once his game period is over, he's gonna be like in, Mayora del Barrio 2 or something, you know.
As long as he doesn't go to an indoor league and America become like a feeder team for United States indoor leagues.
You know, Uribe would have a hell of a career if he wanted to spend his life like make some money. He could come to MLS and do really well. I mean, dead serious. Like, he could really do well for himself in MLS.
That's a good thought. He probably could. He probably should. I don't know if he will, but that would just solidify Pern's ideal of MLS being a retirement league.
But I would have absolutely. I mean, it is. You know, they're trying to get away from that. But I mean, you know, other players in other leagues make moves like that all the time. I don't know what the big deal is.
Yeah, I think Uribe was still a big draw. And he could, if he gets another medal, he's going to be right up there with, you know, one of the greatest Mexican national team players of all time.
I think he's definitely in the top 5 right now.
Yeah, no doubt. He's up there. But, I mean, 2 medals is just, you know.
Legendary.
Yeah, that'll...
He only is gonna, you know, now really make special requests.
He maybe if Chivas would have used him when in their Libertadores run, we would have had the cup.
Hey guys, real quick, the Mexican, I think they're under 21, is playing the MLS homegrown team, and they're beating them 2-0. And it's the 90th minute or 89.5 minute.
Yeah, Landon Donovan's coaching that team. And Jordan Morris is on there.
Oh, Landon Donovan's the coach?
Yeah, I saw him on the sideline. He's coaching. Jordan Morris is up top. And
so they got Abraham Romero in the nets between the sticks for Mexico.
How many Chivas are on that team? And how many Pachuca players are on that team?
You know what? Romero's a Pachuca player, but they signed him from LA Galaxy's academy. Remember, he played for the U.S., but they didn't like that he would play corridos and norteñas in the locker room, so he felt alienated because they didn't appreciate his music or something along those lines.
Really? I mean, all norteño music is it's polka music, isn't it?
Yeah, but the U.S. national team didn't appreciate it.
Who doesn't like
he was with them. He was with them. And
Ronnie, when was the last time you went polka dancing, Ronnie?
It's been years, actually, John. Years.
Did you ever go kicker dancing when you were in Houston?
Kicker dancing?
Or go to, like, a Western swing place? And two-step?
Oh, yeah, honky-tonk bars, yeah.
Vergüenza.
Now there's a place back. I forget the name of the place. No, I'm sorry. It's called Henry. No, yeah, we used to go all the time. There were places now keep in mind I haven't gone towards these places in a long time. But in Tomball, in Conroe, I mean that's north, like outside of Houston on the north. I remember we used to go. I used to go to this place called Henry's Hideout, the horniest place in Texas. And that's because it had a bunch of horns and antlers on the roof, you know, on the ceiling. But good times, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a place.
So, I mean, it's not all just, you know, honk, you know. I mean, it's not just all two steps, you know. It can get pretty, any dance.
You buy a Confederate flag after going there?
What's that?
You have a Confederate flag when you go there?
As a matter of fact, I do, Chickies.
you're probably like, you're probably being on the side of the U.S. players, like, insulting this dude for listening to Norteños.
What's that? It depends what he's listening to, dude. From the
antlers. What if he's listening to Tigres del Norte or something like that?
No, that, what's that?
Tigres del Norte.
Well, yeah. After Tigres del Norte, you know, started singing those bent wrist, you know, songs.
You know, the Tigres del Norte is what we call when we do the Longhorn Radio. And they always have, like, the assistant coaches all doing, like, signs and stuff for the, you know, to send in signals for the next play.
Hey, dude, Abraham Romero just knocked out one of his teammates and cracked his head open. This guy's going to get
channel,
some
what channel feeding. Is that game on?
What it's on YouTube. On? YouTube, U.S. Soccer. I think he might have given his teammate a concussion, man. He came out for the ball. You know, in fact, it's the captain, number 3. I'm not sure his name. But he dropped them, and they got to sell him out. He's bleeding.
No, I want to go back.
Is he bleeding like Miley? Juan?
Juan, what?
Is he bleeding like Miley?
I, dude, I'm not sure if I should even acknowledge your question.
When in doubt, don't.
So, before you go on, Ronnie, I was trying to admire bronca between Chivas and even talking about Higuera didn't get him going. I was very disappointed that the Chivas contingent were not in the spirit of the argument. So I'm gonna have to ask you guys, what is y'all's biggest point of contention as Chivas fans? Where do you guys not see eye to eye, and they're like, where are you furthest apart?
It'll be youth development there.
With Real.
Juan is a coach. He employs the pay to play. He's banking off of that here in the U.S.
Dude, there's no pay. This guy's pay, man. Come on now. So. My so parents, they don't go to Starbucks, man.
Is it time to our debut our new segment that we have for the show tonight? Now that both of you are on for the first time. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's time.
Unidos y divididos por el amor a la camiseta. Esto es Chiva contra Chiva.
That's great.
Well, hey, speaking on youth development, though, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I were to choose a youngster to go to Chivas or to Pachuca, for example, one might think Pachuca would be the better option instead of going to Chivas.
I think they'll get taken care of better. They might not necessarily debut, you know, because Chivas is dependent on their youth system, but Pachuca is just going to basically debut the.
So you agree with Joel there that youth development's a negative that Chivas has?
Yeah, but it's been that way for the longest time since Hans Westerhoff left. Because Real ran that thing into the ground.
Yeah, but along with Vergara, don't they always rehire Real?
That's cool, John. I'll clarify it. That's been our, you know, where we our argument. Because
now let me ask you the last question before we continue. Who's more embarrassing, that Chivas keeps rehiring Real or that America always uses the Bombero Luna as the interim? The interim.
Yeah. Coach? I don't know. I don't think it's I think it's embarrassing that Vergara's still the owner, but
you mean
hey Juan.
Yo.
Now you made a comment earlier about right now about you know that Pachuca would be the better option because they you know they take care of you know they're better.
They got better facilities. And they give the kids education, college degree.
You know, the better team in youth development. But having said that, okay, I still believe that it's easier for a player, and this goes for youth and the senior teams. It's easier for a team for a player. I don't care if it's senior or youth, to make it or to at least
in America
appear to be a good player when you're playing with a team like Pachuca where there's no pressure.
What do you mean?
Let's be honest about this. I mean, Pachuca could win the championship, and I say this because it's happened. They've won the championship, and then they miss out on the playoffs. You know, the following season, and the press doesn't say shit. I mean, Chaco could fucking suck it up, and could do very well. And Pachuca and Veracruz goes to America, plays like shit, and you know it's I've always said this. There's players that have the mentality to play anywhere, and there's players that don't. And I'm still convinced that Pachuca, you know, to me they're still the flavor of the month. I understand that you know I'm not trying to knock on their organization. I'm glad that there's owners that are you know that are involved, but. I guarantee you, you know that you're not going to see a Cuauhtémoc Blanco coming out of that. You know, people can fucking ride the nuts of Chucky Lozano and all those guys. Those guys are not going to carry a national team. I'd be shocked.
I think Chucky will. When he's ready.
When he's ready. Hello? How old is he right now?
He's like 20, maybe.
He's 20.
20. So
that should be ready enough right
Hello?
There, man.
Hey, Ronnie, so you're saying, I think you're mixing two things. One, you're talking about the first team, and then you're talking about youth development. Okay. Did we all get disconnected? Oh, okay.
No, he's back.
So as far as youth development, from my perspective, they see it as a business. To them, it's not about necessarily their team being the you know, always being champions or striving to win every season, but it is about, you know, developing players that they can make a profit on.
As far as
facilities, there's no argument. They have the best facilities. If you're a player and you know what, not every player is going to make
it. But you're in the fucking desert. Sorry about that.
In the desert, they're high in the mountains.
I know.
Look.
There's bus stops over there. There's truckers. Truck stops.
Dude, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But don't lag. I know that's what you were doing over there.
This is we need a special segment for Ronnie to describe us more about these deserts and rest stops and whatever lizards are crossing his path.
It's time for Ronnie's rant. Ronnie's rant.
I don't know what you're about.
Look, Ronnie. The thing is, Pachuca probably doesn't have the funds, the pockets yet to pay off the refs. You know to have all these calls in their favor like Club America did, especially against Chivas in the past.
I'm not talking about the refs. I'm not talking about the refs or anything. I'm talking about, you know, for me, Pachuca, and I say this because, you know,
you think they won the recent championship.
Yes. No, what I'm saying is that players that Pachuca produces, really, who from Pachuca has really carried the national team?
Well, the thing is that for the longest time they weren't producing players for the national
team. Well, they were foreign players. They were the ones that really started a lot of the bad trends in Mexico. To be honest, they're the ones that started bringing the Barra Bravas. They're the ones that started playing seven, eight, you know, foreign players
for like so, what 8 years. 20 years?
What's that?
How long have they been in first division?
Well, they've been on and off. I mean, they won in '99 their first championship.
That's when.
So I mean, they're not. It's not like they're new team.
Yeah, they're a new team. Remember?
No, they're not.
Hold on, when Celaya was quoted, they had the playoff between them two, and Pachuca had their new stadium. They had bought their new facility. They started construction on their facilities, which they use now. And they had everything ready to go, and Celaya was the team that got promoted.
You have to understand, Ronnie, that Juan literally drank the Pachuca Kool-Aid while he was there.
I know he did. He turned into the white and red stripes for the blue and white stripes.
Successful in the sport, they have to have the mentality. That's no question. Now you can say, hey, they're more hypercritical, you know, to Club America, you know, they're more hypercritical. You know what? I can see maybe Club America or Chivas, they get the blunt of the pressure as far as the media.
And I know I've said it, you know, many times, and I've always used the example of the pitcher, the Mexican pitcher, Esteban Loaiza, you know, when he played over there, I think, for the Chicago White Sox, and he played for the Yankees. He said it was night and day. When he pitched for the Yankees, you had 100 reporters at the end of every game questioning everything from every pitch to the way you dress to what you say, how you say it. And that is the environment that players in Club Azul in America especially, and I think, you know, and honestly, I'm not hating, because for the longest time, and I know Joel and I, we've talked about this, one of the advantages that, you know, the U.S., you know, had, and it's starting to change, was that they had a complacent press that acted like cheerleaders.
Hey, Ronnie.
That just didn't give a shit. Yeah.
Why are you against progress? Why are you against?
I'm not against progress.
No, you know what? I'll add to what Ronnie's saying. I do think overall, if you grow up in that environment where there's more pressure, ultimately you'll get better players, because facilities is good to have them, but they won't be as important. So you could see it like in Uruguay, a lot of those clubs, they don't even know what a facility is, man. They all train in an empty parking lot.
Yeah.
And we've even had their players talking about, not too long ago, I think he was from Paraguay or Uruguay, talking about how he had the same pair of shoes for like 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And he was impressed at Pumas how the youth players had like were all decked out in new gear head to toe.
Yeah.
Where, here in Mexico?
Yeah, Juan, are you mad that I'm talking bad about Pachuca? Starving.
You know, in Argentina, they're starving. You know, Mexican people, they don't have the necessity to be starving to play soccer. Either they get taken care of or they don't. Now, you know, Cuauhtémoc is a special player. He wasn't produced by America. He's more of a product.
Actually, he was.
They found, what age was he brought into America?
About 14, 15. That's way. I mean, he didn't. You know, obviously, the youth academies weren't what they were today.
He's your prototypical. You give that guy a ball, he would debut himself, man.
Look.
I'll give you
with Cuauhtémoc Blanco, and there's actually an interview with him saying this.
You know, I wouldn't be so proud of Cuauhtémoc either, because he cut his own career short for being a, you know, borracho.
He retired at 43. What are you talking about?
He would have been one of the.
He got injured too.
You know, so I wouldn't
earn the right to be a drunk after someone shattered his knee.
Dude, Cuauhtémoc Blanco could be a wife beater and a drunk, and I still love him. Okay?
Vote for Trump.
You shut your mouth, goddammit.
So you're saying, Ronnie, that people are too spoiled in Pachuca. They have all these nice facilities.
No, I mean, dude, what I'm saying is that I don't see really, you know, I know that they have good players because obviously,
I mean, they've only been doing this. I mean, they've really only made the commitment to do this for the past, what, 3 or 4 years. I mean,
not three or four years. It goes.
Rocky Lozano is the first player they debuted that they've had 10 years. So I think they're going on their 12th year. But I mean, still, is still rather new, so we're barely seeing the results of their work.
But yeah, going back to the whole pressure thing, though, which I think should be the focus, like how much pressure there is from media and fans. I heard they had a low turnout for their victory parade. You know, I believe there was more people at the Chivas Copa MX celebration than in Pachuca's league.
Well, that's Pachuca's not that big of a city, man.
I think that's only because they were so desperate for one fan base was more starved than the other. I'll say that.
Yeah, there were more fans at El Meow Meow, I think.
That's a negative. That's an insult on the Chivas fan base.
Look, for all the you
have to celebrate that Copa MX as if it was the World Cup or something.
Hey,
how often they win stuff.
When you're young players, what they need is to adapt to the league. They're not ready for the pressure. That's why, in the case of Chivas, they would bring a guy like Omar Bravo to take the pressure off the younger players, or guys like Carlos Salcido, because just simply, you know, no matter how much pressure, the young players, they're not ready, and it's been proven. I mean, you've seen it with Chivas. So it really doesn't add up saying that it's only the pressure that's going to deliver the quality, because that hasn't been the case. Now, if you're saying, hey, this guy's starving, you know, like an inner city kid in the U.S. and, you know, he's got the golden ticket, I think that's not the same kind of pressure as far as, you know, that's more like a hunger to kind of get out of your situation.
I think that pressure and poorness are all forms of adversity. And to be a good player like Cuauhtémoc or like anyone, you gotta overcome adversity, whether it's in America and you're under a lot of pressure with Chivas, or if you're babied in Pachuca or, you know, whatever it is, you gotta be mentally tough, not just physically able to play ball.
You cannot be a mental midget, and you have to have the cock juice. You have to have the testicular fortitude.
And that's a problem. That's a problem with Mexico, though.
The best facilities in Mexico, and not a club like America or a club like Chivas, to have that they don't have the best facilities when they're one. Televisa has, you know, Club America has so much money that they spend on all these foreigners. They can't even spend a decent sum on their youth development, and if you look at the big
well, clubs, hey Juan,
around the world,
calm down there.
You gotta pop the brakes on this argument.
Pop the brakes, baby. Hey, baby, come on, pop the brakes.
And they don't just come up with buzzwords to brush off the fact that they're not doing their job.
Juan, let me talk, please.
Hey.
Come on. Hey.
Raise your volume, Juan.
You expect to turn out a bunch of Cuauhtémocs every year when you're, you know, you got a dirt field and, you know, they're living in this building that's falling apart. Some of the windows, some of the windows.
Argentina does it all the time.
I'm not saying Cuapa is the best facility in Mexico. Well, yeah, what I'm saying is it should be.
It should be. And that should be a point
of pride. Juan, you have to understand, Juan, that you know who the America Academy is? Yeah, they have an academy, but you know who the real academy for America is?
Isn't it Boca Juniors?
They just buy the guys they want. And,
even Real Madrid at least has an academy, man. Even they you know,
yeah,
they
but their academy is...
But Juan, you're forgetting, and we're just going a couple years back, the under-20s for America, they were three-time or four-time champions.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that was Diego Reyes and Raul Jimenez's generation. So what's happened since then?
They're still making the playoffs. They're still in the finals and stuff like that. So I mean,
dude, but like didn't Pachuca win the U15, the U17, the U20? Maybe not the U20.
But tell me.
Dude, they had like a clean sweep, but
what player really is head above waters from Pachuca? That's gonna be like a Cuauhtémoc Blanco that can carry a national team.
Dude, Cuauhtémoc Blanco is like one of those once every 25 years players. So I don't think that's an apt comparison. That's like saying which players.
No, but what I'm saying is what I'm saying is that
the forwards Mexico has had to Hugo. So there's
only one way to solve this argument, and this is what I was talking about earlier, is that if we really want to see how Chucky Lozano is as a player, America should. That's where he should go next. Sir, and I'm being dead serious. That's the team.
First thing that he needs to do is he needs to lose the Chucky part of the, you know, just that's just a bad omen. That's just a given.
Oh,
okay?
My God.
What? It's Chucky from Child's Play.
Is it Chucky or Chucky?
Little mom. It's
Chucky. You've perversed it, Ronnie. You've perversed it.
Are we sure about this? Is it Chucky or is it Chucky? Because right. I need to know this.
So
as far as I know, I believe it's Chucky.
Are you going to send an email to Peláez and who is it? Escarraga, right?
I think it's John.
John?
Yeah, John Escarraga.
Are you going to send them an email and saying, hey, we got to upgrade the facilities. This is embarrassing. You know, we got to get a better hospital for the team.
But the point is that they don't have to upgrade their facilities.
They're going to have to fly to...
The facilities
Juan,
let me put it to you very simply. America's like the Yankees in the sense that they don't have to spend that much on their youth system because they don't need to. Because they can just buy whoever they want. So why go for them? I mean, yeah, it could produce a couple of players every now and then, and to them that's worth the investment. They have a totally different mindset than
John. I think part of what Juan is saying though is that other big teams around the world, like in other big leagues, even still their facility, even though they buy all their players, facilities are top notch.
Outside of Raul, who was the best player Real Madrid has produced the last 25 years?
Well, we're not discussing whether the players. He's talking about the facilities.
I understand. Who was the best player that Real Madrid
has? The defender, the right wing guy.
Yeah, the blonde dude with beard.
Raul.
No.
Outside of Raul, who's like a Cuauhtémoc, you know, a 50-year flood guy. Outside of that, who will Real Madrid produce? I mean, are they producing consistency? You guys can't even name a player. I guess it's the blonde guy. No, it's the guy with the beard.
Oh, Mark.
No one knows. My point is that Real Madrid doesn't have to invest because whoever has the best Euro or World Cup, they're gonna go, well, that guy's ours. Because that's the way they do business.
But you know what?
It's great that Pachuca has an academy.
I don't follow the league that closely, but I do believe that there's quite a few players from the cantera, from Madrid's cantera, playing in other teams. They may not be good enough to play for Madrid, but they're in the league.
What they do is they sell them, and then they put a buyback clause. So basically, they loan them out, and they pay like a couple million to loan them out. So they sell them, and then it's a buyback clause, like a couple million above what they sold them for. And Barcelona does the same thing.
So what they're saying is we're not going to wait for you to blossom. So if you blossom somewhere else, then we'll buy you back.
Hey, look at Manchester United buying back Paul Pogba, and he was in their youth system. See, the thing is, they have these players, they identify him, okay? But he wasn't ready for their team, but he's ready now. And that's what
but you're not going to let a player go and then try to buy him back for $120 million.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
So it's like your girlfriend's not really good, so you're going to let her go off so she can get good with another guy?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And then pay the other guy. And then pay the other guy to have her back.
Yeah, thanks for teaching her, buddy.
Yeah. You're really ugly right now. In 3 years, if you get prettier, you're coming back.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
is that a fair analogy?
Either of y'all's argument is wrong. It's just a different way of doing business. There's nothing, you know, America has their way, but it's worked for them, and Pachuca is starting, you know, they had a paradigm change, they're starting a new way.
I've seen...
They have to invest in their youth, because they need at least eight players that work... actually, they probably just buy eight canteranos from somewhere else, right?
Juan, though.
To make them actually have more Mexicans on their team than they did in the
past.
I think
Juan is making up for not being on the show for the past couple of weeks. He's,
hey, Juan, but here's the thing, though. America's won titles both with a heavily foreign-based a team, and they've also won with Mexican-based team, like a almost a Mexican-based team, though. So it's they've done it both ways.
With all the naturalized guys?
Is that typical for an Americanista?
What's that? Well, look, keep in mind when they won. When Cuauhtémoc Blanco won it in 2005, I think what it was the only foreigners that were on. Hold on, I'm trying to think. When Cuauhtémoc Blanco won it in 2005, Piojo López, Ricardo Rojas,
Chelito, what's this guy's name? The Argentine.
And Piojo.
No, I said Piojo López.
That guy's Argentinian.
Yeah. The
Ecuadorian.
Who? No. In 2005, when they won it with Cuauhtémoc Blanco. When Cuauhtémoc Blanco,
with the Brazilian guy Kleber or whatever.
Oh, Kleber. Those were your three guys. Everybody else was Mexican.
That's because they had Capello Carrillo, man.
What's that?
They had Capello Carrillo.
And even when Piojo won his first.
So you're saying aside from that guy, they were all Mexican.
No, three guys were foreigners. Three guys were foreigners that played that day. The rest were all Mexican.
Ronnie, quick question.
Yeah.
Have you logged into Chivas TV yet?
Honestly, I haven't had the time.
Snap.
What's that? You've got mail.
So we agree, right, Ronnie?
What's
we
that?
We agree that America is falling short on their facilities and their youth development.
But Juan, you know what, Juan?
Hold on.
Now, keep in mind.
Hey, look at this. Do I really care or give a shit if I go to a stadium and there's a fishbowl around the entire there's a fishbowl or a swimming pool, or there's to me, as long as the fields are fine.
Check this out. These guys, they got a facility, like a whole building with its own coaching staff and support staff just for the goalkeepers, okay? Now, and then you're going to tell me, hey, these guys are being pampered. I think you're out of the loop, okay? You need to see the new work being done.
I've actually been to Pachuca's training camps. Not recently, but I've been there.
Rancho, you could throw like a whole youth academy in a rancho, have them sleep with the cows and the sheep, but that's not going to produce shit unless you have the support.
That only happens at Texas A&M. Let's get that straight.
Texas A&M. But and the support staff, they're not going to go work in some rancho, dude. They want the best facility.
Juan, do you think America spent more money on Oribe's stylist than their cantera?
Dude, probably.
Hey, Juan, have you ever been to Cuapa?
Dude, I've flown over it. I've thrown
Come on, I've flown over it. Yeah, come on. Have you been in there?
Dude, I don't need to. I already know.
No, look. I'm saying, dude, yes.
The Cholo Stadium, the facilities are right there. They're very disgraceful.
El Azteca is disgraceful with all that construction and stuff.
But they're building it so because the NFL and stuff like that. So I mean, it's gonna turn out nice. I mean, I've seen the renderings for it, but
I mean, they're starting the work. They need to be, that's good.
Juan, I still feel you're putting too much emphasis on facilities. I think results should be on top of that list.
How do you measure results for youth when winning youth championships? That's not the end-all, be-all, as we've seen. That doesn't automatically deliver.
No, but then even then, you're talking Mexican League where youth is not – it's not important.
Dude, you've drank the Kool-Aid, Juan.
Especially when you see rules like 10-8. And Pachuca knows this because they have about 10-11 foreigners.
You've mixed the Kool-Aids together too.
Juan, honestly.
things. You're talking about the senior team and whether.
Juan, can I ask you a very honest question? I mean, interrupt, but.
Go ahead.
What flavor was the Kool-Aid in
Pachuca? They gave me.
It wasn't Vergara flavor. That's what matters.
Oh.
Remember I told you I had the yogurt and that stuff was killing me, man. I had the runs the whole time I was there.
Hey,
blueberry tuso.
Do you remember the movie Kingpin when Woody Harrelson comes back with that milk mustache, saying that he just milked the cows, and it's like, no, it wasn't a cow, you know. I can make that Kool-Aid mustache.
That's how they do it in Philly.
So are you now a Pachuca fan, Juan?
No, but I like the way they run the organization. Which, look, you don't hear the scandals that you hear, for example, in Chivas, where they're hiring and firing the coach every 3 weeks, or you know they're not paying, they're firing their coach and they're not paying them.
They also fired the team doctor and gave some of the responsibilities to Almeida.
Yeah. Or bring in a TV producer like Michael Bauer to run the organization into the ground.
What is it about good sex that makes me have to crap?
Steve's got a point there. Juan's got a point there.
What's that? They're not Pachuca. Hey,
look,
you
man.
Act like Pachuca's not like, you know, Fosse. Wasn't your president? Wasn't your club president? Didn't he get suspended 4 or 5, 6 months? They have their scandals too, dude.
Yeah, but
they
what
just
I'm
won the championship too.
The leadership at the top, it's stable, it's organized.
You know, I have to interject, and I do so with great joy and glee. As you all know, we've actually have quite a following now. There are 3 people watching us.
Wow.
and we have comments. That shows you how interactive we are, that we're going to interact with each one of them.
What do the comments say?
A wolf in sheep's clothing says, "What's up, boys? Great stuff as usual." And
Be careful. That might be the one with the whip.
Yeah, it was and you. America. That's what he was. And the second one says, "Saluditos a el Johnny, mis hermanitos cagones, Joel, Pern, y para toda la banda." Now, we had this discussion in the chat, and it's too bad that we should have invited Johnny, and I think we should do this at some point. But we want to have a game show quiz between you, Ronnie, and Johnny Rico, where we ask you a question about which referee jobbed America in a big loss, like just a humiliating, unbelievable we lost like that loss, and see how many rounds, like penalties, see how many rounds y'all go.
Just play the music. Play the game show music of the pig in the Poe, you know, from Chevy Chase. Yeah. Play that little. Yeah.
I think it would be a terrific, just an absolutely terrific segment.
Don't do that. We'll do this in 2 weeks because my classes end next week. And
you know, that would be great because what we can do is we can tease it next week, you know, to really build up the drama, and we'll hype it up, you know, and this could be good. I think that this is where I think our big break's going to be. I think that this is how we go viral. Is what this segment. So bone up is what I'm saying, because I know that you'll have to like sit down in a dark room and with a box of Kleenex, and that they're not going to be the happy kind, they're going to be the sad kind, and you're going to or you're maybe a sweat lodge and just you know, think back to all the times that they've just been just you're thinking that you're going to go, and then the referee just comes and sticks his whole freaking fist deep down in your chest and just rips it out, eats it in front of you while he's laughing, throws it in the ground, and takes like a, you know, big dump all over it and walks away.
Isn't that called a Cleveland Steamroller?
Either that or the punchline is the Aristocrat.
Exactly.
That's either, I think, the Cincinnati Bowtie or the Cleveland Steamroller. I don't remember which one.
It might even be the Alabama Hot Pocket. But yeah, so that's where I think this show. I think that this could be very powerful. I have to because I'm pretty sure that both of y'all have enough bottled America rage that I mean this could go on for hours. I mean, he might even bring some up that his grandfather's told him. His grandfather got Medicanista fan. Well, actually, you know what? That's what it should be. It should be like whoever wins, this should go up against Johnny's grandfather to see how many, how many refs he can name, because he's a big Medicanista fan. You know, very passionate. I'm sure he knows the names of ese pinche Arturo Vision, el 92, la chica, you know, whatever it is.
You sounded like Polo Polo right there, dude.
That's because I'm sick. I can sound like my voice a lot more.
Hey, you know, I looked up that joke, the one you said, del pájaro y el...
El chango?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I still listen to Polo Polo, dude, to this day, dude.
Gentlemen, we have a question from the audience.
Uh-huh.
So, Ronnie, you're gonna have to recuse yourself from this one.
What's up?
It's a question about Toluca.
What about Toluca?
It says, suppose Osorio gets, not suppose, but let's pretend that it's going to happen. Gets the axe, and who does El Tri hire, and is Cesar Montes legitimate? I think Cesar Montes is absolutely legitimate. And as far as Osorio getting the, well, when it happens.
I could tell you when it's going to happen. And where? Columbus. Columbus, Ohio.
Nah, I don't think so. If he loses in Azteca to the Nats or some of those teams, I think
it's in Columbus. The first game of World Cup qualifying will be in Columbus. And then the second game, it will most likely be in San Jose, Costa Rica. He won't make it out of there.
So he's got the same route that Chepo, right? He opened in Honduras, man, and then
does one like a major bottle of whiskey. I just heard that.
Hey, Bielsa just turned down Argentina, so there you go.
Solo Simeone too.
He's waiting for Mexico. He's waiting for a call up. But Mexico's expected to lose in Columbus. I mean, or it's, you know, it's not a surprise. So I don't think that would.
You know, maybe this has been the plan all along. Maybe. You know, maybe Osorio is just an interim until Bielsa, we'll just do the hex. And you know. However, I think that Juan and I came up with a much better plan.
Oh, hey, hold on, John. Is everybody still on board with keeping Osorio? Or now that, like, you know, the elimination was, you know, months ago?
I'm not Ronnie. I gave him the tournament, and he did not convince me. And it didn't just come down to that one game. To me, it was the culmination of all the games.
You know what?
At the Centenario.
Ya no me interrumpas, güey, ¿eh?
Guáchale, cabrón, guáchale.
You haven't been listening, Juan. I have a bad cop if you need one. Well, just say, hey, man, I need a bad cop. And,
there you go. I need a
no le voy a discutir con usted. Y usted no me va a decir, ¿qué carajo tengo que hacer?
So,
there you go.
Really
¡cállese, carajo!
We do have a bad cop if you need him.
There you go. But I was just gonna say it was the players. The players let the team down. They let Osorio down. That's why they came out and they gave face, apologized to the fans because, I mean, no matter.
Rafa Marquez is actually the one that told those guys to.
Made him do it. He's like, go out there and take the bullets, boys.
Yeah. No, but you know what? I know that the players have a fault in this. But there comes a point, and I think I know where Joel was going with is that, you know, Osorio was trying to be too cute the entire tournament, you know, and I think if you know those defensive, you know, the openings, the holes that the defense had, it wasn't just against Chile. I mean, we were getting exposed. Yes, we were getting exposed. It's just there were the what Chile did is that they finished, the others didn't. But, I mean, those holes were pretty wide open, and I think that, you know, he just wasn't managing his time. And, I mean, I know we already spoke about this, but I know the fact that you guys brought up Osorio, I was just wondering if you guys, like, now that the heads have cooled, if you guys still want him or don't want him. I don't want him.
You never wanted him from the beginning, though.
Yeah, what a shame.
Yeah. No, but I did tell you that two things were going to happen. Actually,
something.
Three things.
I want him less now than I did.
Ronnie always circles back to wide open holes. Why is that?
I'm okay with him getting a second chance.
No, I said Honduras was obviously. I don't really give a shit about Honduras, but he had to win in Columbus and had to win Copa Centenario.
Well, what if he wins in Columbus then?
No, fuck. Centenario meant more. If there was one tournament, a Copa America, that Mexico was designed to fucking win, it was this one.
Yeah, he didn't fall short. The players fell short.
No.
Yeah, he fell short, man. He fell short.
The
players did as well.
And the coaching was worse. And that's the bottom line.
And John made a good point, you know, weeks ago about.
I make good points at least three times a week.
No, but I was saying this. You made some good points about the lineups. Like, they were always changing, and like the players were just rotating. It was like a fucking, what is those Japanese orgies called? The hentais or whatever. It was just like, it was all just, it was like that, dude. It was just, there's no order. Everybody's going at it together, you know?
You know what it was like? It was like watching like experimental jazz dancing.
You know what? Those guys have played together before, though, so even that's not an excuse.
It is. It's not an excuse. It's a reality.
Those guys have all played together at various levels.
But Juwan, you're a coach. If you see that two of your players aren't working well together, you're going to try to find a good pairing, be it at central defense or in attack. Well, or are you going to every game switch it up?
Youth players are different, but each game is different, man. So you can't play the same way.
So as a coach, each game you bring out a different lineup.
Let me tell you something. You know, Pep Guardiola, he made himself famous, right? Because every game he would change up his tactics. But look at the players, the quality of players he had at his disposal. So no matter what changes he made, they always work because he still had the best players on the field. Maybe he needs to be more pragmatic and realize, hey, he doesn't have that type of squad. Well, I guess, you know.
But hey, Pep, they may have changed. They may have changed tactics, but Barcelona's strategy is something that they do from their youth. They don't change it. They're to me, Barcelona, they were like the Dallas, the Cowboys of the 90s when they had Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and stuff like that. Everybody knew what they were going to do. And Dallas Cowboys, I mean, they were just that fucking good that they were going to do whatever they wanted, try to stop me.
Right, so, they were just pulling, hey, we're going to run to the left.
You knew when Emmitt Smith was going to get the ball. You knew when, you know, Irvin was going to get the ball. You knew when, you know, Novacek was going to get the ball. They just knew it, and it's like Barcelona. So, yeah, changing here, putting Messi a little bit over there and stuff like that. Yeah, but it didn't change. You know, it's not like it was night and day.
Ronnie, are you a Houston Cowboy fan?
I respected the Cowboys.
Are you a Houston Cowboy fan?
No, I'm not. I respected the Cowboys. I thought, you know, they were really fucking good. They were really fucking good, and I hated them for that, but they were really fucking good. You know, but you know what? I actually, believe it or not, I actually do miss watching, you know, a team like that.
You know,
that's interesting.
This guy was brought in to change the way the Mexican team plays.
Who?
Osorio. They were looking for a change. They were looking for something.
But why would you change it?
The guy wasn't fighting Puebla, dude. I'm telling you, everybody fell for his little fucking verbose mannerisms and his little fucking blue and red pen.
I'm not sure how we fell for it when he's not the one that gave up all those goals. Even Memo Ochoa, he's supposed to be the, you know, twice as good as every other Mexican keeper, all the hype behind him for years.
He broke the team, Juwan. He turned the Ferrari into a Vulture.
Since work together, maybe one or two players are new, like, you know, in this case, Lozano, or, you know, new players are coming on, but there's none of this broken stuff. You know, it's a squad of 23 players. They need to be able to be ready to perform.
That's the coach talking to us right there. Well, see, no matter what happens.
The job of the coach is to be a fluffer, to keep the guys up. He failed to do that. He failed.
Fluffer.
You know,
he failed to fluff his players.
An interesting analogy, but that's almost what the national team player coach has to do. Just
to fluff them? Keep them hard and keep them going?
Keep them, you know.
You know, it's funny, coming from a guy who says, hey, the players need to be able to handle the pressure, and then you kind of make the excuse for them and then just go straight for the coach. To me, that's
he's going straight for the coach because it's Osorio and he's never liked it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. National team is different. National team is a very different animal than club team. You know this.
Well, actually, there's a lot more pressure on the national team. So
I can see that. But the thing about it is that you get to play. You get to train every day with your team, with your club team. You don't have
America's and the other teams' lack of investment in their youth facilities and their youth coaches and in youth players comes to bite the national team in the ass, because now they don't have the players that can handle the pressure, because they're all busy, you know, sleeping with the cows and stuff, you know. Milking the cow, like you mentioned.
Okay, well, hold on.
Well, he only milks the bull.
Hold on. So you have, America had, Memo Ochoa, Diego Reyes, Raul Jimenez, Miguel Ayun. I mean.
Those players, they're not new kids on the block.
But I'm just saying, it's like you act like they haven't produced anything or stuff like that.
Miguel Ayun, he was in Italy, man, for how many years? And then he came to America.
There's pictures of Ayun playing in the America's Youth Academies years ago.
You mean when he was like, how old was he?
When he was a fucking...
Did you find those on the dark internet?
At what age did he live for Italy?
What's that?
At what age did he leave for Italy?
He didn't pan out in the academy, but he started off playing in their youth systems. And
I don't remember what he did with Ayun. They said, hey, why don't you go somewhere else? If you blossom, we'll bring you back.
Use the other analogy, John.
He went to Veracruz, right? And then from Veracruz, he left to...
He's from Veracruz. Yeah.
Use the other analogy, John.
So,
of going to another team, you know. Go over there, learn how to suck, and then just come back.
Exactly.
So did Colombia send Osorio to Mexico?
And you know what? Those four players, they were on the field when Mexico played like crap, right?
Well, here's what's going to happen with Osorio. Now, if he learns his lesson, which, you know, is possible, I would assume that a guy like that would learn from a debacle like that. If he manages to win, like that, four official games, they win two of them. If he can get 4 points out of the first two games, if he can get 4 points out of that, then I think his job is safe until the next two games.
Or something.
But
he has to get positive points. But he's going to lose. What I'm saying is, when the Hag, let me finish. The Hags is two games. Right?
Back up.
They play two games every time for five match dates. So at any point in those, if he doesn't get more than 3 points out of the two, he's gone. That's when they fire.
Uh-huh.
But if he can manage to get at least three points out of those, then he'll qualify and he'll go to the world and he'll continue. But the minute he doesn't get at least three out of one of those two, he's gone. He's as good as gone.
If he loses 4-0, if he loses 4-0 in Columbus, he's gone.
But
well, yeah, obviously.
I also want to point out another instance of why, you know, Osorio, you know, I don't want him back. You know, against the first game, you know, against Uruguay.
It's time for Ronnie's rant.
No, it's not a rant. But he after the game.
Is it a mini rant?
What did he do after the game? in his press conference.
He said sorry.
No. Against Uruguay. What did he do?
He got mad at that one dude. He gave a little pre-rap.
Yeah. And what did Carlos Albert say about that?
You keep it on the field.
No, yeah, but tres por chismoso y tres por... He was a chismoso, dude. He was a chismoso. I hate those guys.
Well, your rant...
He had no business... What's that?
I agree with that, to an extent. But your rant with Osorio has been long documented, and it's the same reasoning behind you not liking Darwin Quintero and Mickey Arroyo. So it's just you have your little back reasons for not
basically,
liking.
Basically, Ronnie, you make up your mind very, very early in the argument, and then years later you'll circle back. You know what? Maybe I was a little too harsh on that guy.
No. Hey,
like you did with La Volpe.
You know, Carrillo proved me wrong. Piojo Herrera proved me wrong. Okay,
what percentage? And I'm asking
me saying Darwin Quintero has been inconsistent, and also Mickey Arroyo. I can see that. Hey, Mickey Arroyo's come up with some pretty important goals. Okay, but to me, like, I mean, if I can make the analogy, Mickey Arroyo to me, like, you remember, you know, back in the day in the 90s in the Sports Center, where like all the highlights of the shortstop were like of.
Ozzie Smith.
No, not Ozzie Smith. He. But there were. What was it? Goddamn, I forget. I forget that shortstop where he was always doing, you know, amazing catches and stuff like that. But then, like, he always. Ozzie. No, it wasn't Ozzie. It wasn't him from the Cardinals. I forget the other one. But the thing is, he would fuck up so many routine plays. Yeah. He would make it an incredible play, and it would get replayed the shitload on ESPN Sports Center. But the routine stuff, the routine guys, like, you know, the Weiss's guys, the guys that just wouldn't really do a lot of spectacular plays, but were consistent. It just seems to me that Mickey Arroyo is that type of player. Where yeah, I know that he's come up with some very important goals, but it just seems like he's always very inconsistent. Same thing with Darwin Quinteros. I'm not the only one that thinks that Darwin Quinteros has not lived up to the same expectations. I mean, shit, even Oribe, but, you know, I expected a lot more of Darwin than I did of Oribe, because I thought he was just, I mean, I thought he was a spectacular player in Santos,
well, hey,
Darwin.
If Herrera would have stayed on and not get fired, he wouldn't have done any better than Osorio.
What's that?
If Piojo would have stayed on, he wouldn't have done any better than Osorio.
Well, it's hard to say that, because when Piojo got into the politics, that's when the press turned on him.
Well, he was stinking it up in the Copa del Oro.
What's that?
He was stinking it up in the Gold Cup.
But that was after the politics.
Yeah.
That's when they started going after him. That's when they started, you know,
videotaping.
He still handled the pressure. He won.
You're saying Piojo needed to be handled with baby gloves and not...
You're blaming the media?
No, but I'm not blaming anybody. Well,
you are, actually.
But the national team coach...
I'm saying at that point, when the press turned on Piojo, it was whether he fucked up or slightly or big, they were going to get rid of him. I mean, honestly, when the press has it in for you, the suits and the FMF, they don't want the heat. What does that have to do with his results, though?
He won the Gold Cup, but barely. He was playing badly in the last few games.
But doesn't matter, though. He won.
Yeah, but I'm saying that if he's barely not impressing, Osorio didn't impress against Jamaica. Osorio didn't impress.
Whether you win or barely win, it doesn't matter. You won, right?
I mean, I know, but Osorio didn't win. And I'm saying that Herrera, if he would have been in Osorio's place and not been fired for hitting that one dude, I don't think he would have done better than Osorio.
But I think they were looking to fire him, so that Martiloni thing was a...
Yeah, I mean, that's irrelevant. That's beside the point. The point is, like, if the whole scenario, if they would have forgiven him, like they forgave Osorio for the Chile loss, and Piojo would have went into the Eliminatorias and then Centenario, he wouldn't have done better than Osorio did. He may not have lost that bad to Chile. Because
no, but hey, Piojo was a...
He called up different players, so there's a possibility he might have done better. Because look, if Piojo seems he's good with the players, like as far as relating to them and stroking their egos, you know, the stuff that Ronnie really likes to do.
Well, he had good rapport with them, and that's what I saw a tweet by Cesar. The rapport with the players has been an all-time high with Piojo. But, and I agree, he would have called Gio.
And probably
he even said before, and John might have a clip that he's no títere. So maybe he would have. Because, I mean, everyone's saying...
Why are you defending Osorio? I'm not
defending
him. No. Juan.
Actually, I'm not. I'm defending Piojo as far as his... I mean, the possibility that he would have called in better players and maybe Vela and Gio, they perform. Well, Gio, yes. Vela, not really. He's never really performed, although, you know, he's a brilliant player if he fucking sets his mind to it. But they could give you something extra that, like, a guy like Chucky Lozano, he's got a great future, but he's just not ready. And you know what? Vela and Gio, at his age, they weren't ready either. So that's another point. But I think Piojo maybe would have done better, but it's not for sure to me. Maybe the personnel would have been different.
Uh-huh. Man, you guys are bringing the conversation down. You guys are...
It's a real boner killer.
What I have a question for Ronnie is why is he going on about Club America being so great with youth and Mexican players when, you know, they had a More Mosqueda. In fact, Jolie made a thread at one point in the big soccer forum comparing the careers of More Mosqueda and Hobbit, where at the time More had all the hype and, you know, because he had debuted, he scored a bunch of goals, Cuauhtemoc had given him his boots. And then you go down the line, you know, like a few years pass, and you know, where is this More guy? And he's then they sign Hobbit, and then they ruin him too. So you know,
clubs don't ruin players, dude. That
you know, and you know what, Raul Jimenez and Diego Reyes, they're lucky they left when they did, man. They're lucky they left when they did.
It's a conversation point. The Club America ruins players, or they can't handle the pressure, like you said before.
It is. Cabañas, like America, fit like a glove. Benitez fit like a glove. Iván Zamorano from the beginning, like a glove. Claudio López, like a glove. So there's certain players that...
What about Fantique?
What about Lucas Castroman?
Or Rocky, what's his name? El Pepino Bando Cuevas.
Dude, Pepino Cuevas didn't fit. His mom, didn't she like...
Yes, mom with his agent.
Yeah, his mom. But oh, he played well in Pachuca. But what else is fucking new? I mean, you can go. Pachuca's a gordi guapa. She's just happy to get any attention. You know.
America did ruin Ratón Zárate, though.
I know. What I'm saying is that, you know, Pachuca is still like, they're like the eternal gordi guapa. That's what they are.
Hey,
she's gonna be happy. She's gonna be happy with no matter just whatever little attention you give her.
Pachuca's the gordiguapa with the hot Pachuca little sister.
Pachuca bought a club in Chile and they won the Chilean league. I think it's Everton. Everton.
Dude, that's not impressive, dude. The fucking Chilean clubs are fucking.
Dude,
they're fucking stacked for.
They just fucking kicked Mexico's ass and then they took Copa America from Messi, and they're tearing everybody a new one in South America. Even though I guess
Jesus, the flavor of the month,
Are you kidding me?
Well, Pachuca's starting up, man. They're doing it.
Took a month to put together, man. Have you seen the? Did you watch those guys play?
Yeah, I did.
Flavor of the month, man. That's years and years.
But hey, the Chilean league, come on, you're reaching now.
Started paying attention now, you know. Dude, but guys have been.
Yeah, the Chilean League. Come on.
Hey, weren't you bringing up though the Uruguayan League for your argument about the poor facilities? Well, I'm pretty sure those facilities are just as poor.
No. Hey, it's funny you mentioned that. Sorry. Dan. You know why? Because in the 2004 edition of the Copa Libertadores, when they were giving Santos shit because their old stadium didn't have 22 or 23,000 capacity, and Conmebol was just being Conmebol and trying to screw over the Mexican team.
And they wanted the stadium lights.
Yeah, they wanted the stadium lights. They wanted all this stuff, but yet the team in Chile, and Televisa Deportes actually did the thing in there. They were playing in stadiums with wooden bleachers.
Team ever to
with fucking wooden ever. Bleachers. So it don't tell me this bullshit about the first division in the Chilean. Okay, you know the fact that my folks actually lived in Chile.
Facilities in Chile. I'm talking about that department.
Ronnie's rant.
Yeah.
Well, so, hey, one of the main reasons you're an Americanista, though.
And then you talk about, well, the hood is crap. Well, yeah, but you know what the.
Well, tell me this, Ronnie. If one of the main reasons you're an Americanista is because of its history. Like, if Americanista would have been a small startup club like Pachuca is, you wouldn't have even been a fan.
Pachuca's not a startup club, though.
Well, they sort of are, because they're starting to – they have good facilities. They're starting to bring up some good young players, and they won the championship the league last time.
Well, hey, I'll tell you this.
So what he's saying is Pachuca's a first-world country and Club America's a third-world country right now.
Ultimately, the jury is still out on Pachuca because this is just a
you can lose in Pachuca and the press doesn't give a shit.
Hey, you know what? Maybe that's what Trump is talking about, that to make Club America great again. That's what he's talking about.
Well, no,
he forgot a word.
Has a history of being great. Club America is one of the most popular teams.
It's the most winning. It's got the most wins. It's got the most gold. The most silverware.
That's why you're an Americanista.
No.
It's like me. It's like me. If I'm born right now, I'm gonna be a Golden State Warriors fan.
No, but
he's a glory hunter.
You guys want to act that Pachuca's a new team? They're a new club. They're not. And look, keep in mind, guys. In the '90s,
Club America fan, just only when they're winning. Then when they're losing, he hides in his cave. In Philly.
That's not true. That's not true. But hey, in the '90s, when both Pachuca and Tigres, they were both teams being relegated. I think they both got relegated twice, so they were both struggling. You know,
well, Pachuca didn't join the league until the 90s because, or maybe it was
no,
the 80s.
No. They went like 20-something years
without.
They were
nowhere near the league.
Yeah.
It's not really a fair argument, though, to be diminishing what Pachuca is trying to do, because it's still really new. I don't know what's the point of arguing about.
It's not new. I'm trying to tell you it's not
new. It is new.
You know what?
It's new.
What I heard from a
It's actually past 20 years.
But you yourself said that Pachuca were, I mean, like their whole basis was to just get
Santos
going.
Santos came up to the league in 1988. It's not a new team. It's not a new club anymore.
Is that like Ronnie's?
No one's saying that it's a new club. I'm saying what they're trying to accomplish. Their current project is new. Their youth movement. It's
new.
They
made a paradigm change.
They literally said, they're literally claiming that Chucky Lozano is their first actual player that's come out of what they've been trying, of what they've built.
But don't you think that, you know, they're like being.
So it's unfair to say it's
premature ejaculation. It's like, oh, God.
They're
premature ejaculators. That's what they are.
No, actually, they're not claiming anything. You're the one who's crying and bitching that they haven't done anything when they've only been doing it for 2 seconds.
Remember, make it a point to promote their facilities, which it's a good thing, but they do make it a point to always point that out, like their university and their museum.
Yeah. Hey, Holly, do you remember the scene in the movie Hall Pass, where they go visit the guy's house and he's always just trying to show off the house and
oh boy.
Yeah, but
it's
but,
like
I mean tiny takeout.
But you know what, on average Mexican League has some of the best facilities of all the Americas on average.
Well, dude, yeah, they fine. You're going to compare it to the Americans. They don't even have promotion or relegation,
but,
man.
But who are you going to
compare? No, now we're talking facilities, though, not promotion or relegation, though. I mean,
you know, I would actually run, Cohen, I would actually take that one step further, saying that Mexico has consistently, definitely Latin America, I mean, and probably in the entire Americas, the best facilities, period.
Yeah.
You know what, Santos? I heard Santos facilities are a little bit better than Pachuca's.
It's an arms race.
Hey guys,
from a kid that was, he went to Santos.
Great, eventually, it's not that big a deal. It's not that important.
And they Santos has won recently. Their youth teams have won recently, but again, I still think what they're doing is still too soon to tell whether they're going in the right direction as far as producing their own talent.
Look, hey,
it's take time, man. It's that's one thing that has been lacking in the Mexican league, where there's no long term vision. You know, it's like, hey, how many teams has Ruben Omar Romano, Tomas Boy, and who's the other guy that's always making the rounds?
I think Ruben Romano. He has Romano has 13 punches on his card.
Flaco
Tena has at least 17.
La Volpe too.
Well, that's another.
Hey Juan,
and they're always making the rounds because that's how it's done, you know.
And Jose Luis Real has won, but it's like the hole keeps getting bigger and bigger each time. Now, Joel and I had a very interesting theory in regard to when Osorio gets canned, because it will happen probably before the end of the year.
You want that?
They should just no, yeah. No, I want Efraín Flores. No, Tuca.
You know what?
Just do the hex. Have the World Cup. Retire. You know, go have fun. Just do. You know, we're not going to make you do all the crap that we don't normally do. Not that they would ever say that, but.
So you think he'll take over after the hex, like what they did with Piojo?
I think that if Osorio gets fired, I think that they go to Tuca and say, hey, man, you know the guys? They like you. You like them. Go. And
right
off if he has a good run, he can retire. And, you know, outside of Tuca, I mean, who else has had a career as distinguished over the past 20 years as Tuca? I mean, it'd be a great way to
But yeah, also, John, he's not a pushover.
And he doesn't exactly. He doesn't give a fuck.
He's not a pushover. He'll call out the FMF on their shit, and he'll do it during the press conference. He'll do it whenever necessary. But that's been, and I'm gonna have to defend Osorio a little bit. I'm gonna have to go against myself. That's been one of his downfalls. That Osorio has been a pushover, and one of the things that's very interesting, we have Santiago Baños, who was the Piojo's assistant, right? So in the last, you know, for the last coach he was an assistant, but now he's a director deportivo. So now he's above the coach. So he jumped from I mean, that's kind of unheard of. Like, where else have you seen an assistant coach where the coach gets fired and he stays and they promote him? So players still go to Osorio, to Baños over Osorio just because he's above him. And I think we all agree, Baños is not, he doesn't know more than Osorio when it comes to football and team management and all that.
So you're saying, Joel, that he's not qualified, I believe.
He's not qualified, but I think that's part of the problem when, if you're the coach and you're trying to instill, your new system or values, but you still have part of the old guard and you're just not going to have as much power as you need to. He's not the boss. He's not.
What you're saying is that the real cancer isn't Osorio.
Well, I think he's. I think it's part of it. I think Osorio is part of it, but I think it doesn't help him to have Baños, you know, above him.
Right. It's like having one disease, and then the other one comes in and expedites the disease.
Pretty much.
Like a catalyst.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, I mean, I was never a big fan of Memo Cantu. I think that I just don't think that he's done anything to merit a position that he has, other than the fact that he knows people, and you know, I guess that's fine. But if I were the Av, I would get rid of all three of them, and just put in Mejia Barón and Tuca, and just say, just go do it, have fun, retire.
And yeah,
I really like the way Pablo time. Barrera and Efraín Juárez played while they were under Tuca at Pumas. So I think, why not?
Yeah, well, I mean, Tuca's not afraid to, I mean, yeah.
Look how good Pulido was doing under him until, you know, he got whatever the hell happened.
That is bizarre. What do y'all think the real story is there? I mean, there's obviously something.
With Pulido?
Yeah, Pulido and Tigres.
I think it's he just was dumb to listen to his agent and force himself into Europe.
But that's the thing, though, is that his agent worked for Tigres. So, I mean, obviously he started listening to another agent.
Because I think he had just branched out from Tigres. He was trying to start his own.
Now, do you think Joel, if Alan Pulido had Raúl Jiménez's agent,
Jorge Mendes? Jiménez, yes.
Do you think that he would have signed for Benfica for 22 million euro? Like
he would be the star. He would be one of the main stars right now. I think Pulido was pretty much on the road to be one of the top Mexican players, and
that pressure that y'all love so much. I mean, Raúl Jiménez is probably the player that's going to be under the most pressure this year. Do you guys think he'll respond? I think he will.
I think so too, John. I think he's.
Did you see when they were losing to Chile? As soon as he got subbed on, he was the only one. To me, it was like he was.
He had the best tournament of everybody. Yeah, exactly. I really liked the way he played in all the games, man. I mean, he was itching, man. I think that if I were also, excuse me for a second. If I were Osorio, I would have played both he and Chicharito against Chile, because you needed a guy that could hold the ball. And the biggest difference between him and Troncos that played in Mexico, that were the big tall forwards that, you know, could barely do anything other than head the ball and score, is that he's really good with his feet, as good as any. I mean, he's good with both the left and the right.
Who, Jiménez?
Well.
Yeah, he is. He's actually, you know, he looks like a Tronco, but he's not, dude. I mean, that guy, I seen him bust out Rabonas and.
He's like, no,
he was a Tronco. He worked. He put in a lot of work. Man.
Oh, there's no question, dude. Yeah. I mean, he reminds me of Zlatan. I'm not saying he's going to be Zlatan, but I think that Zlatan is like, for a guy his size to be as complete a player as he is, I mean, I think it's really remarkable. And so I think that Raúl Jiménez is that type of player, you know, a big guy that can do everything. And then those are very rare. So I have very, very big expectations for him. I think that this could be the World Cup for him if he can get the playing time and start doing well. I think that he could be very effective and be the one, finally the one player that Mexico has lacked in a World Cup.
Now,
why did Mendes become his agent? Because Mendes is very selective, so that makes you wonder, was it a shady deal, or is there something more? Is he going to end up on Real Madrid?
I don't think, I'll tell you where he'll end up, is Mourinho still his client, or is it just Ronaldo?
Yes, sir, he's
Manchester United. Yeah, it's his client.
So he's built quite a little. He's got, you know, friends on all levels. Then he's got the, you know, the friends at the, you know, as the players, and he has the coaches. Does he represent any general managers? Out of curiosity. If he, you know, then that's, you know, he's got the system going.
You know, he must have gotten a part of that $22 million too.
Oh, he'll get a 15% commission. Jimenez gets
smart,
what, don't they get, what, 10%? Don't the players get 10% of a transfer fee?
America also got like 14%.
Yeah, they did all right. That's probably why it had to be so much, because they're like, I got to pay you, I got to pay you, I got to pay you, I got to pay you. So, who was it that Benfica paid? Was it Atletico Madrid? Was it Madrid? Atleti, is that who they had to pay? Or?
Yeah, it was Atletico.
He was on loan, yeah.
He's on loan.
Probably ended up getting like $13 million when it was all said and done.
You know, we might start seeing shady deals involving Mexicans, these type of deals.
You mean more so than we already have?
I think, I mean, the numbers are just going to get bigger.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like involving these guys, Mendez, and what's that other guy's name, Riola or whatever?
You think he's shady?
I don't see them doing shady deals, dude. I mean, the FBI, the FBI thing is like, you know. Old
things, dude. He's getting a cut out, you know, getting a cut from being the agent, getting a cut from the club, and dude, he's... That food on
that. That's the cost of doing business. But I mean, I don't, you know, as far as, to me, shady deals is like, you know, screwing over the players.
Well, America signs a hobby.
Hey, what's been the shadiest deal this year so far in Liga MX? I know what the answer is. I'm sure everyone else says it's been
Chivas TV. Yeah.
They are being investigated.
They are being investigated. Because the quality is not good enough. Is that what's going on?
They ignore fan complaints, John.
How dare they? What kind of club would not listen to such a passionate fan base? You know, those the most passionate fan base, really, really of them all.
Hey, John, do you remember a couple years, it's over a decade, there was a series on TV called, and it actually sounded like a porn series, like The Height of Passion. do you guys remember that?
It sounds like something on Skinamax.
It
was a great documentary, actually.
Yeah, you remember
that? It was a
that,
series. They did a Boca River, Celtic Rangers, and Barca Madrid.
It was two weeks. It was 2 weeks.
They did the Milan one too.
They did the Fla-Flu. They did you know Mexican soccer. They did Colombian soccer. They did everything. But I remember I was watching it with one of my fraternity brothers who's gringo. All right, he's a white guy. And
were you guys milking the cow at the time?
No. But he was watching. We watched a bunch of us actually would watch it. And this was actually back in the frat house. And when they were talking about Mexican football, they showed the old facilities of Chivas with the swimming pools and this and that. And prior to them, I had told them that Chivas was the people's team. You know? That they were the team of the working class and stuff like that. So when they actually saw Chivas facilities of all these fucking swimming pools and country clubs, the guys, you know, one of the guys goes up to me and says, "Hold on, that's the team of the working class?" You know?
No, but that was team for the investors, wasn't it?
What happened with that country club was that Vergara sold it, pocketed the money. That was my argument in the forums, in big soccer, and Pern was trolling. He thought that I was trolling you guys, but I'm saying no, because legally it was the property of the nonprofit, and by law they had to liquefy. Legally, they had to liquefy, you know, the proceeds of that. Pay off whatever creditors you guys had, and then, you know, but none of that happened because the profits went to Vergara and OmniLife and Angelica.
Sounds like Vergara went to Trump University or something, man. They're both the same.
It did, but Ronnie, and you know what?
You've never, you know, greased the palms of a Philadelphia official. Now, you know, we can put this off the record, you know. Don't tell me you've never done something like that.
Well, you can
answer America. This is it's actually legal extortion.
Ronnie, go ahead and be honest. No one's listening.
It's legal extortion when you want your plans expedited to get things faster. There's actually an expediting fee, which you have to pay more. You know. Expediting. So I mean, it's basically so, like, legal extortion.
You cater the bills, wedding, putting, you know, every Tuesday.
Let's see. Ronnie's not rolling in the cash like these guys
are. Are you saying you've had to milk the bull?
What's that?
Are you saying you've had to milk the bull to get things done?
You still want to show me your cucumber?
No, but going back, Chivas is being they are being investigated because
again.
Yes. Yes, so there was a lot of complaints for the match against Monterrey, and they came out, Chivas claims it's because if you have a, you know, it was internet providers, so the investigation is to see if it's the servers. This is something Brother Kikis is going to school us in right now.
Hey, Tony.
Because some information was released, and so the servers to host... the Chivas TV are in Holland.
Were they the same servers from the Hillary camp?
So they took the Dutch approach to the extreme, didn't they?
Oh. You guys didn't answer. Were they the same servers that Hillary used?
I think that would be worse. These servers are probably at least like in a data center, and they were semi-redundant probably. The problem that I see is that it could be the user's part, because on one of these articles from on Chivas TV, they were talking about some stats from Asociación Mexicana de Internet. 40% of the Mexicans don't have good internet, or don't even have internet access. And then what's the stat? 52% of Mexicans that do have internet say that they don't even watch TV because it's too slow, because their connection isn't good enough. They don't
need social media. Now, I got a question, guys, because like I said, I'm a little bit outside of the loop with Chivas TV. Like I said, most of the stuff that I know about Chivas TV is through memes and jokes and shit like that. But really, what is – I haven't really
It's seen, like Netflix. It's straight.
I know, but what is their end game? I mean, like, what is it that they want? Is just completely do away with the television and do everything online, or
no? It doesn't seem like they're waiting out the U.S. contract.
But the thing is that, you know,
that's it, Ronnie, to have their own service.
They're trying to go into the whole fad thing of
like Barca TV and Real Madrid TV. Is that what they're trying to do?
Well, like Netflix also, like the Americanization of.
But you can only do, but the programming, dude. It's only so much you can do.
The thing is that Barca, yeah, those channels, they're on like on BN, and they used to be on Gold TV. So maybe they're looking to go that way.
Now, a question for the Chivas fans. Say that they're waiting for the American contract. Is Chivas making the bet that the American contract is going to be worth more than the Mexican one?
You know what, John? Vergara's on record saying is that they're not returning to TV.
Neither of y'all answered my question. Is the American market going to be more valuable to Chivas in 2 years than the Mexican market? Is that why they're holding out?
So like John, what you're trying to say is that, you know, Vergara doesn't want the campesinos anymore for Mexico.
That's
the working man.
No, I don't think he does want the campesinos. Not in Mexico, man.
He's not gonna market to the Estebos anymore. The Estebos.
No, dude, it's mid class and above. But yeah, so that could be a possibility, John. But I don't know.
So why not root for why not
the campesinos? He's just marketing to the ones here.
The ones here.
Because you know what, they can't stream. They can't. I think they can't sell their stream in the U.S. Like
Not yet. Their contract's up.
Still, who has it?
You guys answer like Fernando. You guys don't want to answer the question, and I know why.
I
want y'all to answer the question.
Definitely. I mean, you guys saw in the Copa MX final
that you said no. It's not more valuable to them.
No, I said it's a possibility.
Money off of it.
Possibility.
I think
Juan, yes or no? Is it more valuable?
Look at the fact that they removed the people.
Juan doing chores while podcasting? Yeah,
like
throwing the trash?
Dude, what the
hell? Putting tile on a wall.
Hey, who's this guy, man? Who is it, Ronnie?
Sorry about that.
Do we have a?
Are you working with the?
Do we have a Cruz Azul fan on the show?
¿Y la Cruz Azulio?
It sounds like there's a albañil working right now.
He's pouring sheetrock and putting up cement.
So Juan, as you were saying, yes or no? U.S. market able to make.
I think they make more money off of it. Look, for years, fans in the U.S. have complained about the Bimbo being on the front. You know, and because obviously in English, you know, a Bimbo is something different than the company Bimbo, Grupo Bimbo.
You know what Grupo Bimbo is? The third largest food company in the world.
Yes.
Also, Juwan, Bimbo pulled out of all football promotions.
They did?
Yep.
They own various companies, so they might still be in it indirectly.
Yeah, but their main Bimbo stuff, they stopped promoting teams.
Are you saying that, you know, no más a sandwich? Is that what you're saying, Juan?
Yeah, we're not. No more.
So sandwich is dead. Long live. Que viva el sandwich.
La torta. Now it's torta.
So, you know what's funny? So you say it's a possibility, Juan, that they might value the U.S. market more. Juan is evading the question like as if the senator.
No, I think it is. That's what I was trying to tell you, that maybe one of the reasons behind removing Bimbo as a sponsor is that they didn't like the U.S. fan base doesn't like the word. You know, you got all the ponchos that they don't like the Bimbo word, because if they take you to school or something, like Jolie when he took you to school, they probably try to jump on.
Oh, hey Juan, the Bimbo is actually the union sponsor.
What union sponsor?
MLS.
Philadelphia Union.
MLS.
What are you talking about? Like the gay unions? No, the Philadelphia Union.
I don't know what union you're talking about, dude. You know, with the union. It's funny that was the first one in your thought, though.
It's those Salcido thoughts.
Hey, you know what? You guys...
it seems like both of y'all do think that they're marketing more toward the U.S. fans in the U.S. and fans in Mexico.
Now, I think it's gonna have to, eventually they're gonna have to do something about it. But I talked about this before with you, John, and I think this is one market they can't afford to lose. And if they try to do, if they go with that route about selling the stream, I think they will lose a lot of fans in the U.S., especially the younger generations now that are very Wilburized and more into like European soccer, just because it's more easily available. So I think they're that's a.
I mean, if they went to it's just internet based here in the U.S. Well, to me the biggest problem with them is that if you're gonna do that, then I mean
I don't like it. It's just one. I think it'd be more popular and more accessible in the U.S. because of the internet capabilities, but it's just one more subscription to have. Like, I got a Netflix. You have a.
They wouldn't be able to switch from the.
You got Bangbus. Battlefield Bangbus. Reality Kings. Which one you got?
Aren't they able to do their own channel though?
Well, no, it's its own app and stuff. It's like you have your own app.
Answer me, Beto.
He has meal pockets.
Dear Beto, I'll let you answer as I play this.
Thank you for the
I don't know anything about all that stuff, man. I don't know what that junk is. But it's just like a pain, man. I mean, I understand some people. And then if you're like a young kid, your parents are going to have to pay for that stuff.
Beto, you had a chance to make some comedy. You could have said, you know, I don't know about that stuff. I don't know about, you know, one side. Just like list like 13 sites. I don't know about it.
We got Amazon Prime, Netflix.
Well, here's my position on this. Is that even today, in 2016, is as prevalent as the internet is. Television is still the best way to get your message because more people watch TV than anything else. And I know that some people still want to watch TV anymore. If they can watch something on TV, they're going to watch it on TV. And for Chivas fans to deprive their, you know, the biggest fan base, you know, a majority of the biggest fan base in Mexico, I think is just ludicrous. And it seems like they made a bet thinking that, you know, we're going to make more money than what they offer from Televisa. And if they come up woefully short, like woefully short, then any leverage that they had to make a future deal with television when they come back, and they will come back, and they've just cut the legs out from under themselves if it doesn't work out. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe it turns totally gangbusters, and they do as you say, Juan, and it just takes off up here. Then, you know, then it was a good move. But what are the realistic chances of that happening? I would say probably less than 50%. Is that a risk worth taking? Well, you can have solidly, consistently have the same, you know, like the same block of where you know you're going to be able to get it, you know, in the foreseeable future. And the thing about Chivas is that they don't just have to go to Televisa; they can go to any television station, any one of them, and they can start a bidding war. They have that. They're like America; they're the only teams that have that kind of clout.
I don't think they're very smart. Like I saw their conference, their veil unveiling or whatever of the whole thing. And after seeing like Apple and Google conferences and all, they're just like it looked really amateur, it really looked bad. I don't think the culture in Mexico is like sometimes you hear a lot of times I've heard here people just getting rid of TV altogether and all they use is Netflix and Apple TV and streaming and stuff like that, and that's how they watch their shows. That stuff does not happen in Mexico. People don't have Chromecasts or Apple TVs left and right all over connected to their TVs.
It's now syndicated, so it's now on every day. So you
have
to see it every day. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about.
What'd you say? I didn't hear it.
Siempre lo mismo. Domingo is now syndicated, so it's now on every single day. Siempre lo mismo. Every single day.
Yeah, who watches that stuff though? Like old timers and stuff.
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna work out, man. I think they're betting on the fact that even in Mexico, everyone is looking down on their phone. Everyone is looking at Facebook, looking at Twitter, writing up memes. But doing Facebook, doing Twitter does not take the amount of bandwidth that is required for streaming. Streaming is something totally different. And if it was that easy to stream, just as it was view a post on Facebook, then you know it would be successful. But that's not the case here. It's totally different, and they're not understanding that. I don't think they researched and are really smart to be able to go this route. You don't see it happen here, basically. Like you have MLB TV, you have NBA TV, but it's in addition to it being on the TV. It's not
yeah,
all.
Yeah, they have it. See, and that's what I don't understand. It's like, why on earth would they go this route? It's you know, this is the equivalent of Glenn Beck leaving Fox and starting his own online show. That's exactly what Chivas just did.
And the only almost equivalent is UFC. Some of UFC fights are only on their app, which is a streaming app, but it's always like the super undercard where nobody cares about watching those fights. All the main events are never on just a regular app. They're on TV or pay-per-view.
And then what are they on? They're on TV, right? And
yeah.
Why are they not online?
If they could be like Breitbart TV instead of the Blaze, that'd be badass.
Aren't you going to watch Obama here soon?
Hell no. I'm trying to get out of this cesspool during the DNC convention.
You didn't make any money, see? That would be an opportunity for me to make money off of them.
We actually had, my brother and I, we actually had the opportunity to bend with our food truck, but it just didn't happen with me starting in graduate school. There was just no way.
Man, you could have charged whatever you wanted, man. You guys would have banked.
No, you're right. We could have, but like I said, man, we don't have the. I can't do it. My brother couldn't do it. We were just too busy. I mean, grad school, just kicking my ass right now.
It's too bad you guys don't have
time-wise.
Day labor camps in Philadelphia where you can, hey, oye, puedes hacer tacos, ¿sí?
Well, there's a shit out of Mexicans here, man, but they're not the good type, man. They're lazy.
Can I tell y'all a story? There was, years ago, I was working on the broadcast team for the UT Spanish radio, and we were going to pick up one of our announcers at a Wendy's on the highway or on the way out because it was just easier for us to meet there. Well, it turns out that Wendy's was like one of like an ad hoc day labor site, and the only van that I was able to rent was like one of those long white like white work vans. And we drive up to the guy. So our announcer's dressed in a suit, you know, standing with all the day labor guys. So I rolled down the window and said, "Oye, estoy buscando un cronista. ¿Puedes narrar fútbol?" As we were joking, like he was, you know, the day labor, we were picking him up. And again, nothing. I'm getting nothing.
No volunteers? No volunteers?
Yeah, it is.
They've been like, "What is that? I don't know what to do."
Yeah, he's like, "Well, you know, I'm more of a play-by-play guy. I know you're looking for color. I don't know if I can do it." You move on to the next guy.
He'd be like, "Does that require sheetrock?"
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, he thought it was very funny when it happened. I guess it's lost on y'all.
I get it.
That's it. I cannot work under these conditions.
Well, I guess that's I sure know how to end a show, right? I mean, just really put the hammer down. You know, really, you know, come out on top with a 10-second hole of dead air to end the show tonight. But gentlemen, it was a pleasure. We had a full show tonight. What happened to Fernando? You know, I mean, we mentioned La Volpe a few times. I played his favorite clip.
You. He was on earlier. I think he said he had a hot date.
I think he's probably having a hot date watching the DNC.
Yeah, I think he's a little mad at us, me and Joel, because of the chat.
Oh.
He had a hot date with Barry, is that what you're saying?
A hot date with his bull.
Barry? With his bear?
His bear.
With his Care Bear. I see what you're saying. That's fine. I understand. Well, we hope that you can join us again next week, Fernando. We missed your interesting takes on the world and the world of Mexican football. So please join us next week. And that goes for the rest of everybody that's listening tonight. Thank you guys for joining us. This has been another edition of the Los Aceros Football Podcast. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for braving the cold, John.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun tonight. I think that this is, and Joel, I think you'll agree with me, the second best show we've done, I think.
I agree, John.
Ronnie said that your voice made it move.
Well, you know, it's about three times a year where I get the good radio voice. Chiquis, always a pleasure, man.
Hey, yeah, it was fun. Good times.
Back. It takes me like 15 minutes to set up a podcast each time because I can't ever find the links. They're not labeled very well.
It's all good.
It's a process. It's a process. I don't know how to run that dang internet machine. But anyway, always a pleasure. Joel.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, Always, John.
But by the way, I haven't recorded that you were defending Osorio. So just remember that. That you were sympathetic because
I was.
It's on.
All right,
Ronnie,
guys,
I'm glad you're
good talking. Yeah, good talking to Juan, to Dan, to Joel, Beto, you. It was good.
No, it was very.
It was a lot of fun, guys.
This has been the Los Acero Football Podcast. Again, listen to us live on YouTube Wednesday nights and join us whenever you want. Download the podcast on iTunes. We appreciate y'all listening to us on the Los Acero Football Podcast. Good night.